The number of homeless people in this country has hit a record high, 653,000 as of December, and that's 12% more than the previous year. Why? Well, federal officials cite high rental prices and the end of pandemic-era assistance. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court hears a case with big implications for how cities manage homelessness. Let's look now at two cities facing this challenge, Bakersfield, California, and Burlington, Vermont. First, in Vermont, the numbers have gone up quickly, and now it has one of the highest homeless rates in the country. With us now is Sarah Russell from Burlington, Vermont. She's the city's special assistant to end homelessness. She also co-chairs the Chittenden County Homeless Alliance. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
For every 1,000 residents in Vermont, I understand 5 are unhoused. Give us a snapshot of Burlington. What does the human side look like?
In Burlington, we have seen a stark increase in homelessness since the pandemic began. Pre-pandemic, our point-in-time count numbers indicated that about 176 households were experiencing homelessness. That number rose in just 1 year, which brought us to 626 households experiencing homelessness in Chittenden County. So we continue to see, you know, high rates of homelessness across the county and across Vermont.
Yeah. When you think about the main factors for the homeless challenge in Burlington, what are they?
A couple of things come into play. First, in Burlington and across Chittenden County, we have a vacancy rate of less than 1%, which means that when housing units become available, they're often very expensive, and there could be up to 100 applicants for that one apartment.
So not enough units.
Not enough units at all.
And they're increasingly unaffordable, given the demand and the scarcity?
Very unaffordable to a large sector of our population. It makes rental assistance critical to folks being able to maintain their housing. We also need to exercise a low barrier and housing first approach to provide people with stability so that they can work on, you know, other goals that they may have.
Do you have enough in Burlington shelter beds to meet the need? If you don't, what do you do?
We do not, and that's something that we constantly are working on with our nonprofit partners. We have about 200 people within the city who self-identify as living unsheltered within the city, and we employ actually city staff who conduct outreach to folks who are living unsheltered, connecting them to resources, facilities, and services. And we also, parallel to that track, are working very hard to increase shelter capacity across the city.
What are the main ways, Sarah, that Burlington can tackle this? Provide more low-cost rental units? What's in your toolbox?
Well, one of the things that we've been working on through the Chittenden County Homeless Alliance is developing partnerships. We believe that we need both a public sector and private sector partnership in the work to end homelessness. We approach private housing developers and encourage them to enter into agreements with the Homeless Alliance to dedicate some of their units, their housing units, to people exiting homelessness. And that's been a very successful strategy for us. We need more housing production, and we also at the same time need that to be permanently affordable housing, and we need those units to be dedicated to folks who are exiting homelessness.
And Sarah, before we let you go, I want to ask about the case before the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday. It's about local governments and whether they can charge people with a crime for sleeping outside. Some states have passed bans on this. How do you think about the case and its implications?
I think that it's complex. Best practice dictates that we don't remove camps unless we have shelter opportunities for folks. And there's a lot more kind of beneath the surface on that, right? So if the shelter opportunities that we have are not appropriate fits for people or don't accept people as they are, then simply providing a bed in a space isn't an adequate offering. Successful shelters, for the most part, are shelters that are full. They're places where people feel safe and welcome and trusted and respected. And so those are the spaces that we need to create for people.
Yeah. Now, if Burlington did what some other local governments do and charge homeless people with a crime for sleeping in public, what would happen to them?
with the lower vacancy rate, landlords can be really choosy in who they choose to rent to. And the more barriers that folks have to being able to access housing, including criminal charges, are strike against them when it comes to accessing housing. Additionally, we cannot criminalize poverty. And I think that some of the bans that are really inhumane when it comes to, you know, where we are criminalizing poverty, it's such an inequity for folks who don't have a place to live.
Yeah. Sarah Russell in Burlington, Vermont, is the city's special assistant to end homelessness. Sarah, thanks very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's zoom west now to California, which has one of the highest rates of homelessness as well. Bakersfield in South Central California is facing its own challenges. 4 years ago, its chronically homeless population was defined as functionally zero. Now the number is up to 1,700. We have with us Christian Clegg, city manager of Bakersfield. Christian, welcome.
Hello, nice to be here.
So between 2017 and 2020, Bakersfield made big strides in eliminating homelessness. What worked?
It was a variety of factors. You don't get at homelessness with any one thing, but in particular, working with a collaborative of different partners was a big piece, as well as increasing the number of our emergency shelter beds, and then also offering a variety of new service programs and outreach programs, and frankly, also programs that get at addressing the impacts of homelessness on the community, such as, you know, cleanup crews and outreach crews.
Yeah. So as you're describing the suite of many policy options, the homeless numbers went up in Bakersfield after the first year of the pandemic. Are you facing new kinds of challenges now?
We are. That continues to be a big challenge. We are seeing what we believe to be system challenges around mental health and also substance use. The answers to those challenges feel to be the same as we've been having, but the inflow continues to be a higher number than we've experienced historically.
So do you mean you're coming across more persons who are homeless who have mental health challenges than before?
Correct.
Right now, does Bakersfield have enough shelter space? Does it have enough affordable housing units to address this?
Yeah, great question. There is a housing shortage across the state of California that's not spared Bakersfield either. We do have a shortage of just market rate housing units as well as affordable housing units. And we actually, during the pandemic, doubled the number of shelter beds within our metropolitan community. And it made a very big impact. However, we still have a waiting list of 50 to 60 individuals every week that have expressed a willingness to go into sheltering, and our beds are full.
What happens if there's not enough shelter space? Are there encampments that the city will go in and clear out?
Yes, and it's a delicate balance, because we understand that, you know, without as many beds as we would like, folks still need some place to go. But also, we don't want to have encampments in front of businesses, in front of schools, in front of private residences. And so we do have outreach teams that go and contact every encampment, offer them services, offer them beds as available, also offer them access to safe campsites where they can camp. And then if they don't want to go to any of those services, we do provide them a notice that they have to vacate. But we start with the service first and outreach first model. But then we are protecting our public rights of way and our private businesses from the impacts of homelessness.
Mm. And this goes to a central question, as you know, before the Supreme Court on Monday. In the case it's taking up, one key question is whether it's legal to criminalize the act of sleeping outside. On one hand, people like Sarah Russell in Burlington, Vermont, say that criminalizes poverty. Others, including Governor Newsom in California, argue these encampments can be a public danger to businesses and residents nearby. What is your view?
The reality is that there are many options for individuals, and we've been tracking very closely our outreach efforts. And initially, we were seeing about a third of individuals saying they did not want help or services. But that number has risen to almost 60% of individuals saying that they simply don't want to go into a shelter or into some kind of other service. And ultimately, it is a societal challenge we have to grapple with. But there's a balance between the collective good and the individual rights of a particular individual. And many individuals with mental health challenges and substance use challenges are not making good decisions on their own behalf. And ultimately, it's not compassionate to leave them in these kind of situations that are not really humane. And it's also having huge impacts in our community. And so my view is that the good of the whole of a community at some point does outweigh those individual choices, that we need to be able to help individuals get to a better situation on their behalf and on behalf of the community, even if it's not their choice.
Christian Clegg is the city manager for Bakersfield, California. Christian, thanks so much.
Thank you.